Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
If you cannot listen to this entire show today, then you can listen to it on Saturday at 1 p.m. as well as Sunday at 9, because KSBN will be rebroadcasting this show. Excuse me. And as I always say, this is an educational show, so many parts of these shows refer to previous shows, and these shows build off of each other. I will be talking today very specifically about some content that I've spoken before. It's called Platonism. What is Platonism? Well, when you listen to the podcast, and if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will be able to download the podcast. Just look for the local podcast. I have my Red State Talk Radio podcast up there, as well as my local podcast. So if you go there, you will be able to download all these podcasts and garner what I am talking about regarding Republic Review, Platonism, and so forth. That way, you can start stitching things together. It will probably make more sense to you as I cover all of this ground regarding Republic Review. And as a matter of fact, I also talk about some very specific content, and I'll get into that as soon as we get to that point in the show. But I also wanted to give you local announcements. The Republican Coffee Club will be meeting again at 7 o'clock, and it's always every Friday at 7 o'clock at the Something Else Deli at 152 South Sherman. It's right there on the northeast corner of Sherman and 2nd. And this Friday, they'll have Doug Turner, and he will be speaking on the Article 5 Convention. This is also the second week of the month, second Wednesday today, and if you are heading home, then again, you're heading in the wrong direction, because the second Wednesday of every month is the Northwest Grassroots Movie Night. It is at Darcy's out on Sprague. And I will tell you, this is a must attend. They're going to be doing the State of the County, and they're going to have County Commissioner Chair Josh Kearns, and he'll be delivering the updated State of the County address this month. And therefore, you'll want to go, because if you have questions as to why he voted against raising taxes, if you wanted to ask about what are their plans, can they really get the budget down, are they really going to be fiscally responsible, and therefore, and he'll probably even be talking about the importance of this coming race this year in getting a good conservative like Rob Chase in as county commissioner. So you definitely want to attend tonight, and there will be all sorts of good folk there, as well as the newly appointed chair of Spokane County, the Spokane County Republican Central Committee, which is Cecily Wright. If you didn't know, coming up this June, the 21st to the 23rd, there will be the Red Pill Expo, and it will be here in Spokane. If you go to redpillexpo.org, you'll be able to look for the tickets, who's going to be speaking, and so forth. They're also going to be showing, excuse me, I got a frog in my voice here. They're also going to be showing for the first time a new movie. It's a premiere for Lavoie Finicum, and it's called Dead Man Walking. And it is actually Dead Man Talking, not Walking. I think that's a different movie. Anyway, a documentary that you will never forget. And if you're putting off your decision in attending the expo, now is the time to really jump in, because they are offering last year's DVD album. So you can actually watch last year's Red Pill Expo for free for the first 350 people who purchase their tickets. And that's applied towards a general admission or a VIP ticket. Therefore, it is time to jump if you are going to jump, because I don't know how long those 350 albums are going to be available. But I will say this, they announced this last week, and therefore, because I only speak on this show once a week, you're not, you know, you may be behind the eight ball. So hurry up and jump on getting your tickets. Again, it's from the 21st to the 23rd of June. That's far enough out to where you can block those days on your calendar and go and rub elbows with some real leaders of thought in the conservative arena. As a matter of fact, our very own Matt Shea will be the masters of ceremony, getting everything flowing and so forth for those 3 days. Anyway, I want you to know on the reclaimingtherepublic.org, if you go there, I have posted the bullets for Republic Review. The bullets are the academic argument for Republic Review, as well as the bullets that describe the process of each step within Republic Review. And I've also posted, if you look for the link called The Model, if you go there, you can actually look at the flow chart for Republic Review. This should completely dispel any questions and any false accusations like, oh, the Republic Review will lead to an Article 5 convention. If you look at this, you will walk away with a complete understanding that this is strictly the audit of the contract or the Constitution. Now, I could use some help. If you don't have enough to do with your time and you're looking at getting involved or you want to help, by all means, just reach out to me. You can hit me up on Facebook or you can send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Send me an email and tell me, hey, I've got a little time on Fridays or what day's best for you. Any type of help would be very useful because this is a big election year and I'm actually getting involved in lots of different states' elections because we need, as I've said before, we need to get a David to stand up against the Goliath. And I believe once we get one David, the courage of these other Davids or other states will actually just, you know, start flowing because usually it just takes one person to have the courage to stand up and then others go, yeah, you know, I'll stand up. And the other thing is that it will actually validate and help educate all of these other states on the authority that they possess and be able to get out there and assert their authority over the federal government. Because if you didn't know, the states actually have the authority over the federal government of all things that are not delegated within that Constitution. And when the federal government violates the Constitution by encroaching on those state rights and responsibilities, then guess what? Yep. The states have to step in and stop that. That's exactly what Madison and Jefferson did in 1798. So therefore, if you want to get involved, you want to help with the fighting of federal tyranny, and who knows, the more you get involved, the more you can start leading, and you know, you could go down as a Rufus King, or maybe even a Roger Sherman, or and Roger Sherman, the framer, not Richard Sherman, the Seahawk player. Anyway, you could go down in the annals of history as somebody that truly contributed to the saving of the Constitution and the reframing of the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. Anyway, I don't have a lot of time to get into my first citation. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do that film at 11 type of thing, but instead of making you actually wait till the very last segment, I'm going to get into a ratification debate. And again, like I said, this is George Nicholson, or Nichols, and he is going to be talking about the Bill of Rights. And more importantly, he starts off talking about the law. Why is it that the Constitution did not dictate that common law would be the law of the land? Because the federal, and to be clear, when you ever hear anybody tell you that there's such a thing as constitutional law, that is a misnomer. There is no such thing as constitutional law. The contract did not create law. What the contract did was it delegated very specific roles, responsibilities, and powers to the federal government, and that was it. Therefore, the contract did not create law. It's just like your Verizon contract does not create law, just like your rental contracts do not create law. There are things within contract law that we have to abide by. But as you can tell, I'm at a hard break. I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so I am back, and I always like to start off my citations with this. Are the words in our founding documents that I am citing the words of deceit? Were these guys lying to us? Or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive education system, the progressive colleges and professors, the words from the lawyers and politicians and bureaucrats that we've been told about as far as our founding documents and our Constitution, are these the words of deceit? I will let you be the judge. Who is telling the truth? Now, this is a Federalist, and again, this is George Nicholas. And George Nicholas is a brilliant, articulate man that was talking about all sorts of things regarding the Bill of Rights. And as a matter of fact, this particular snippet that I've actually selected for you comes in after George Mason was arguing for the Bill of Rights. Now, to be clear, George Mason was a very brilliant man, and I love the fact that he held to his principles that we had to have a Bill of Rights. And I believe that had he not driven this issue, we probably wouldn't have these negative powers against the federal government. And there probably would have been a very good drift of the Constitution very quickly. That being said, as I've talked to many other people, I am convinced that when you talk to people about the Constitution, really the only thing they kind of understand is the Bill of Rights. So had we not had those Bill of Rights, the Constitution would have been obscured even further, and understanding what your rights are would be harder for you to articulate, such as your freedom of speech, right to bear arms, those types of things. Those are all Bill of Rights. However, the Constitution, as I have said so many times before, the Constitution only delegated very specific powers. And we're going to hear what George Nicholas says about this. And he goes and says, "But sir, this Constitution is defective because the common law is not declared to be in force." A little exaggeration or a little latitude with some artistic license and acting or drama. Anyway, he goes on and says, "What would have been the consequence if it had? It would be immutable." In other words, if they would have put in and standardized common law as the law of the land, then it would have been unchangeable until maybe a constitutional amendment came along. And to be clear, most people understand that the United States government is common law, or the standard is common law, but it's not. If you go to Louisiana, civil law is the law of the land in Louisiana. So the federal government did not stipulate common law. And oh, by the way, even the Constitution is not under common law, because the Constitution is not under any law. The Constitution is a contract, and the contract is to be enforced. The only thing that created case law, precedents, and all of these things within the Constitution were the nefarious lawyers and jurists who wanted to self-aggrandize themselves. Again, and I've said this lots of times, they just wanted to self-aggrandize their role within the Constitution so that they could start moving the Constitution in the directions that they want. However, if you're familiar with the Article 5 process, there's nowhere in there that the federal government has allocated, or I should say we, the states, have delegated and allocated to the Supreme Court, or even to the president or Congress, the ability to change what is constitutional. That was left to the states. So let me go on. "But now it can be changed or modified as the legislative body," and when he talks about "as the legislative body may seem necessary for the community," he's talking about the state legislative body to be able to dictate what laws that they're going to apply. Because you got to understand that they only had very limited roles over, let's call it, crime. Because the federal government literally can only punish three crimes. And we'll get into that as he talks about this. "But the common law is not excluded. There is nothing in that paper to warrant the assertion as to the exclusion of a jury from the vicinage," and what that means is vicinity. "He has mistaken the fact. The legislator may direct by jury to come to the vicinage or the vicinity. But the gentleman says that by this Constitution, they have the power to make laws to define crimes and prescribe punishments, and that consequently, we are not free from torture." And so, well, so that was something that George Mason was asserting, that all of a sudden the federal government would be able to start prescribing punishments and defining crimes and all of these things. Listen to what he says, because technically the federal government has been doing that for a long time. But here's the Federalist explaining the Constitution here at the Virginia ratification debates. And as I always say, these things are constitutionally binding. These are legally binding documents. And what he says here is truly defining the Constitution. And he says, treason against the United States is defined in the Constitution, and the forfeiture limited to the life of the person attained. Congress have no power to define and punish piracies, or Congress have power to define, punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas, and offenses against the laws of nations, but they cannot define or prescribe the punishment of any other crime whatever without violating the Constitution. So I'm going to stop there. So Congress has no ability to tell you that this drug or that drug is illegal, that you have to do these things for a business to be able to be publicly listed or getting involved in finance and those types of laws or crimes of money laundering and that type of stuff. Now, counterfeiting is illegal and they can come after you. The federal government does have counterfeiting because they are responsible for the printing and or the management of the currency. So there you go. Everything that the FBI is coming after you for or us for or anybody for is outside the Constitution. Let me go on. If we had no security against torture but our Declaration of Rights, we might be tortured tomorrow, for it had been repeatedly infringed and degraded. A Bill of Rights is only an acknowledgement of the pre-existing claim to rights in the people. They belong to us as much as if they had been inserted in the Constitution. In other words, it's an inherent right. They didn't need to actually list these things. However, I go on, and he says, but it is said that if it be doubtful, the possibility of dispute ought to be precluded. Admitting it was proper for the convention to have inserted the Bill of Rights, it is not proper here to propose it is a condition of our accession. In other words, he's saying that had they put in the Bill of Rights, it would have been proper, but it is not proper at this point in time because that's what they were trying to do. They wanted to make a condition or a conditional acceptance of the Constitution that they had to do this one thing. And he was basically saying that that is improper to propose that the condition of our acceptance of the Constitution and the Union would be in, contingent upon passing a Bill of Rights. And he continues and says, would you reject this government for its omission, dissolve the Union, and bring miseries onto yourself and posterity? I hope the gentleman does not oppose it on the ground solely. Is there another reason? He said it is not only the general wish of the state, but all the states to have a Bill of Rights. If it be so, and this is where he's poking him right back in the eye, he says, if it be so, where is the difficulty of having this done by way of subsequent amendment? We shall find the other states willing to accord with their own favorite wish. The gentleman last up, which is George Mason, says the power of legislation includes everything a general power of legislation does. And so he's clarifying right here that had they had a general power of legislation, in other words, there is a legislative body and they create all laws, that would have been a general power of legislation. But that's not what the Constitution says. And he goes on and says, but this is a special power of legislation. Therefore, it does not contain that plenitude or an ambiguous go do what you want of power, which he imagines. They cannot legislate in any case but those particularly enumerated. No gentleman who is a friend to the government ought to be ought to withhold his assent from it for this reason. And so clearly he was pointing out that the Constitution was enumerated, that the federal government was constrained by those limited powers granted and delegated to it, that it couldn't come along and create a Department of Education, healthcare, housing, energy, you name it, labor, all of these things. And so, as you can tell, I'm at a hard break. So when I come back, I will try to wrap up on this particular little snippet that I've given you. We'll be right back.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. I'm working with key leaders and patriots and setting up rodeos for Republic Review in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. We are trying to promote engagement between you and your public servants so that you can start demanding their fulfillment of their oath of office to support and defend the Constitution. If you're beginning to understand what Republic Review can do and how it works, then America needs your help. More importantly, if you live in one of these states or know any patriots or patriotic leaders, like an elected official, a grassroots leader, or someone who is politically active, then please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We know that if we can get a strong attendance by both the candidates and the electorate, we will make an impact. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this audit process started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities.
Okay, so I am back, and I want to be clear, because I know that the ratification debates actually are very powerful documents, and the reason they're powerful documents are as we discuss the contract, or as they discuss the contract, and as you discuss a contract between the stakeholders of the contract, and as you're explaining what this line means and what this line means, whenever you define what something means in that constitution or in that contract, that becomes a legal binding definition, and you can be held accountable to that. So these people who wrote this contract, Madison and so forth, these men, as they explained the contract, were basically creating the tight boundaries and framework that were to confine the federal government. And so at the very end there, George Nicholas basically stated that, therefore, and I'm going to repeat this, I'm going to give you another a different context of the exact same statement. And so he says, therefore, it does not contain the plentitude, this unlimited amount of power, which he, George Mason, imagines. They cannot legislate in any case but those particularly enumerated. And so what he's basically said in that one little sentence is that they can only legislate on things that are actually enumerated within their constitution. Their constitution was very tightly bound to those enumerated powers within Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Well, had he just said that once out of the 700 some odd pages of the ratification debate, I can understand how somebody would say, well, gee, no wonder it got lost because, you know, they only said it once. Well, that's not the case. As a matter of fact, in a previous day, this was on June 6th of 1788, Madison said this, and I quote, and this is in the Virginia ratification debates as well, "The powers of the federal government are enumerated," and he was emphasizing this, "the powers of the federal government are enumerated. It can only operate in certain cases. It has legislative powers on defined and limited objects, beyond which it cannot extend its jurisdiction." And what he just said there was not just a limitation on jurisdiction for the Congress and the legislative body, jurisdiction as well as the Supreme Court, and jurisdiction as well as the president. The entire federal government is constrained by those enumerated objects, the legislative powers on defined and limited objects. Is that clear to you now? Do you understand that the federal government is tied to act only within those powers delegated, that they, and there's nowhere in that constitution that gives them this carte blanche authority to grant themselves any new powers, roles, or responsibilities? If you remember, I talked about Madison's veto of the bonus bill and how important it was that he basically stipulated that those clauses, those sweeping clauses, and I'm going to get into this in these next few weeks over these ratification debates, because now is the time, because as we get closer to the election, we're going to be focusing more and more on this election, because it is very, very important that you understand why we need to start voting for constitutional candidates. If they do not know and understand the Constitution and they have to take an oath, then they are going to be violating their Constitution and our Constitution, both the federal government and the state Constitution, because they're going to start accepting money that is unconstitutional. They're going to be accepting programs just like those gentlemen and lady in the Spokane City Council. They've all had to take an oath, and that oath is to support the Constitution. Therefore, every time they take a grant from the federal government, like this road calming or traffic calming crap, show me in the Constitution where they have the authority to regulate and tax us and tell us how to calm our traffic. It is unconstitutional for them to do that. Therefore, you have elected people that are willingly and without any care violating their oath of office. Anybody that is accepting unconstitutional money is basically violating the Constitution. And as long as we continue to elect people that are willing to do that, then we have a tough row to hoe, because we're allowing the federal government to spend us into oblivion so that when we go bankrupt, I will tell you that we will probably go into conservatorship, and China and the rest of the world will be happy to come in and tell us how to live our lives, because that's what happens when you go bankrupt. Because look at what's going on in Greece. Greece right now, and Spain, and all these countries that have had these problems. We're not the only ones that have these problems, but we don't have to have these problems. We can force the federal government back into the framework and the confines of the Constitution. I don't want to linger on this too much longer, but I did want to talk a little bit about what I got engaged with last week. John Burberry, he is a radio show host in Casper, Wyoming. He was suspended after he interviewed a superintendent by the name of Terry Snyder in the Fremont County School District. And basically, he was just, you know, asking him and asking this. And I wish you could get the articles and go get the audio on this a little interview. But he was basically saying, why are they promoting this lifestyle within the Casper School District of Fremont, District Number 25? And he basically identified that this is a destructive lifestyle. And why is this in school? And this Terry Snyder all of a sudden got really defensive and started attacking him back and saying, I think you've got some really old ideas and so forth. The authors that I've read in the only articles that have talked about this, Andrew Graham, Seth Klayman, and Noor Al-Sibai, these three guys were basically grinding the progressive axe in attacking this guy. And so in one of the articles, they identified this guy as a GOP operative, obviously throwing some bias already there, that there's a guy that's pushing down this GOP agenda. Well, these guys were completely oblivious of the fact that our kids are being forced into this homosexual and this progressive Platonist agenda in the school system. This other person identified what John Burberry was doing was a homophobic rant. Now, I want you to understand something, that whenever anybody uses a term homophobic, Islamophobic, or phobia, or what have you, what they're saying is that there is a medical, a medical dysfunction or a medical problem that you actually possess. It's almost like a disease. You are ill or what have you. And what they're basically doing is they're making up these words, because if you go to the APA, there's no such thing as homophobia. There's no such thing as Islamophobia. These are not like claustrophobia. There are people that actually suffer from those types of fears. These things are progressive, made-up words, and they're used to attack and shame people so that we become more compliant to their manipulation, so that we are being forced into accepting their paradigm as they attack us. And so I'm going to come up with some words for the progressives so that we can actually start attacking them back. Because bottom line, when they start using things like this, then they're actually telling you that you're mentally disturbed when you're really not mentally disturbed. There is no medical definitions for these. And as a matter of fact, I know that because my wife did a paper on that when she was in medical school. I also want to point out that one of these articles talked, actually Terry, the superintendent, referred to this concept that the interviewer who is calling these destructive lifestyles, those are dated opinions or old world ideas, and in contrast to the new world ideas. And that really made me start thinking, what is an old world idea and what is a new world idea? Because as I see it, the old world ideas were those fundamental, carnal, primitive instincts of self-gratification, taking care of the immediate needs and so forth. And if you look at the hierarchy of needs, as we become more and more enlightened, we become more self-disciplined, we're not pursuing self-gratifying things and acts and those types of things. And so what they're getting away with in telling you that you have these old world ideas is actually an obfuscation of the facts, because they're supporting the old world ideas. But I got to get back into this as soon as we get back after break from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, so I am back, and I want to jump right back into this, but I also wanted to tell you, and I want you to tell me if I'm wrong on this. I don't believe that there is any other radio station out there that is providing you the academic evidence of what the federal government is and what the federal government isn't, and what they're doing in violating the Constitution regarding all the plenitude of powers that they've assumed. And so I hope that you appreciate the fact that, again, this really is an educational show. And so let me get back to what I was talking about regarding these dated opinions and old world ideas. As we look at the concepts of these old world ideas, infanticide and, some of these primitive or these carnal acts and so forth that were done in before societies actually started enlightening themselves, that is the basic fundamental stage of a society forming itself, because it has to start putting aside those primitive acts, those carnal things and practices and so forth, as they start building their society and creating laws. Society does not start with enlightenment and then start debasing itself. Conversely, what societies and all societies do is they actually start enlightening themselves and putting aside those primitive and carnal types of acts and so forth. And what ends up happening as they advance and advance and advance, they finally get to a point where they begin to put aside, for whatever reason, those standards and common practices and thoughts that they had utilized in their enlightenment phase, and they actually started allowing themselves to become debased, and they go right back down towards these carnal practices and so forth. And so they return to the old or dated opinions and ideas. It's kind of like when Moses took Israel out of Egypt and they started learning these new concepts of higher enlightenment and a higher law. As soon as Moses was gone up on the mount for 40 days, what did they do? They reverted right back to the old carnal things and the practices that they had been taught. And that is one of the reasons why it takes enlightenment and it takes time to change a culture towards a heightened enlightenment. But it does not take much effort to start debasing a society. And that is what has been happening with this progressive agenda. This is how they use these types of words, homophobia, dated, and these types of things, to take control of the narrative in literally obfuscating and obscuring the facts. They actually get you to believe, and they get everybody else to believe that, oh, because you have been living on these ideas of enlightenment, those are old ideas. The new idea is returning back to even older ideas. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, they're convincing us that the new idea is the really, really old idea that we abandoned in the very beginning of our society a long, long, long time ago as our societies have evolved. We're at a point where, as Western culture and Western civilization has literally evolved over thousands of years, because it went from ancient Greece, which was supposedly the cradle of civilization, where in those days they had very carnal practices, same thing with ancient Rome and so forth. And as we enlightened ourselves and picked ourselves up in disciplining ourselves and so forth, we have been able to progress. And I'm using that word in a very good context, not towards secular progressives. And so we have enlightened our society to a point to where we were able to start obtaining individual liberties and sovereignty for every person. There has never been a society that came to this pinnacle of liberty. And therefore, as we've allowed them to take over our education system in the 1850s, we've allowed them to start injecting communism in the 1880s into, actually, communism was injected with the unions and the labor movement. Because again, remember, the labor movement everywhere in the world is the Communist Party, but the labor movement in America is the Democratic Party. So tell me, what is the difference? There you go. That's why I have no compunction and no reservation to say that the labor union and the Democratic Party are the Communist Party. They have basically taken on that mantle. Anyway, another comment that really bothered me in this article and actually in the conversation was that this superintendent believed that every kid had a right to an education. And what he was just saying was every kid, and so we have to quantify what are we educating these kids. And so when he says every kid has a right and we have to be diverse in ideas and all of these things, what he's just telling this guy is that these kids are supposed to get an education that encourages sexual gratification and self-indulgences. They are deliberately debasing our society. Is that not reminiscent of the primitive side of our society? This has nothing to do with an enlightened society. And they are literally trying to destroy our society by getting people to become so distracted in a very, very addictive things. If you don't know that, you know, the kids today all are leaving school with some forms of addiction, whether those addictions are in video games, whether those addictions are in gambling, sex, it doesn't matter. And I want you to point out, you have to remember this, that sex education was pushed into the school system in the 50s, and it was done so as a solution to remedy teenage pregnancy, okay? Well, how well has that been doing? As a matter of fact, to respond to this, after they started getting sex education into the schools, what did they start doing? They started putting Planned Parenthood all over the place because they knew that the outcome would not be that of controlling teenage pregnancy, and they knew that there would be a demand for Planned Parenthood. Do you understand what they've been doing to us? And that's why they have been basically pushing us down this slope, and we've never once been able to return back to those things that made America great. And those things have to be reinducing prayer in school, bringing the Bible back, bringing back morals. Our problem in our society has never been guns. It has been the moral debasement of our society. And look what happens when you start to let one genie out of the bottle, like sex education. That's only one. Look what happens when you let another genie out of the bottle in the 1920s called the Scopes Trial, when they forced teaching evolution and basically silenced the ideas of creation or intelligent design in our society. My friends, this is not about debauchery. This is not about guns. This is about slavery. They are teaching future generations to engage in things that are addictive and destructive. And it is not for the betterment of society. And what they have been doing over the past century is doing everything they can to take away the consequences of sin. That is, I can't put it any clearer. At least we don't have to feel bad anymore, because these kids coming out of school won't feel bad anymore about their abhorrent lives and the sins that they're partaking in. Again, this goes right back to Plato's Republic. The most important tool or position in society were the educators. Why? Because it was the educators that helped you understand what your destiny was. And your destiny is to become addicted to these types of things. It's not like the school systems are trying to pump out so many engineers and so many scientists and so forth. They have been creating good citizens with good addictions so that they need government to help them feel good about themselves. And that's why government is responsible for ramming down your throat and my throat these concepts of accepting and creating transgender bathrooms, accepting any type of form of marriage, and so on and so forth. As you can tell, I'm out of time. I will be back next week, and I'm hoping to have more snippets for you of the ratification debates, as well as future guests, and we'll be talking about that as well. God bless. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.